Andrew Fuller was a gifted and highly useful English Particular Baptist pastor who lived from 1754 to 1815. The following message notes are found in Volume 1 of the complete works of the Reverend Andrew Fuller, published in 1845 on pages 475 to 477. The sermon title is Christ Our Substitute in Death and Judgment, a funeral sermon delivered on February the 28th, 1790. The text is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. The truths here taught are the most serious and interesting. None doubt the reality of death, and few that of judgment. But many live as if they credited neither. The sum of the text is, Christ is our substitute, both in death and judgment. And yet we die and must appear at judgment. To make this plain, observe, we are appointed to death and judgment in two ways. First, by our subjection to corruption or corporeal death, and to an appearance before God in judgment. In this view, the appointment takes place upon mankind in general, good and bad, and that notwithstanding the death and mediation of Christ. Secondly, by the sentence of God as a lawgiver. It was the sentence against man in the day thou eatest. In this view, death includes more than a subjection to corruption. It includes its sting. And judgment includes more than appearing. It includes our final condemnation. This last is the meaning of the text. It speaks not of what actually takes place, but of what must have taken place had not the mediation of Christ interposed. The text speaks of the penal sentence of the lawgiver, and then of our deliverance from that sentence through Christ, our substitute. So that, though in some sense it is still appointed for men to die and to appear before God in judgment, yet not in the sense of the text. Believers will find death divested of its sting and judgment of its terror. Verse 28. From the text thus explained, we may make a few remarks. One, that the sentence which all mankind lie under as sinners is no less than a subjection to everlasting ruin. Some have supposed that the threatening, in the day thou eatest thou shalt die, meant no more than corporeal death or subjection to bodily corruption. But if so, the mediation of Christ does not deliver us from any part of the sentence of the law, for we are still subject to this, which the apostle supposes here it does. Two, that the judgment here referred to is the judgment at the end of the world. Some have supposed it to refer to that which follows death immediately, but the whole text shows the contrary. It speaks of what we are subject to in death and judgment, and of Christ as our substitute in both. Two things require our consideration. Heading 1. The doom that lies on men as breakers of God's law. The sentence is awful. We may judge what death and judgment would have been to us all by what it is to those who die out of Christ. Think what death was to the world, old world, Sodom and Gomorrah, Korah and his company, Saul, Belshazzar, the rich fool, Judas, and others. This, for substance, was the doom upon us all. two circumstances in particular in these deaths rendered them awful. One, they were attended with the loss of all their enjoyments. Their all being in this world, 'tis gone and gone forever. None of this beyond the grave, nor the hope of it, or of any enjoyment whatever. Even wicked enjoyment is gone. Two, they had a load of guilt upon them when they left the world, which would sink them lower than the grave. This is the sting of death. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And this is an essential part of that death to which the sentence of the law subjected us. It was unusual under the law to transfer guilt by confessing it upon the head of the sacrifice, teaching us that if our guilt was not transferred to Christ our sacrifice, it must lie upon our heads when we come to die and appear before God. Oh, what a thing it is to go down to the grave with our blood upon our head. Could we leave this load behind, death would be divested of its chief terror. But this is not all. The sentence exposes us to a judgment hereafter. Death is not a going out of existence. We are accountable creatures and must be accountable for all we do and must have stood to the issue but for Christ and must, after all, if we die out of Christ. Oh, my hearers, this is true. Do you think what judgment will be to those that die enemies to Christ and thence learn what it would have been to us all but for Him? Three things in particular here deserve notice. One, it is a judgment that takes cognizance of the heart. All impositions are at an end. How different will characters then appear to what they have here? God is not mocked. Two, the character of the judge. God is judge Himself. His eyes are flames of fire. He cannot be deceived. A God of impartial justice. He cannot be prepossessed or bribed. A God of almighty power. Revelation 18:8. Three, the importance of the decision. It is final and decisive. No appeal from it. This will be the case of sinners on whom the sentence of the law is executed, and must have been the case of all but for what follows. Verse 28. This leads us to consider heading number 2, the deliverance which believers obtain from that doom through the sacrifice and second coming of Christ. Not from subjection to corruption, nor yet from appearing before God in judgment. In this respect, the text is true of all, though that is not the meaning of it. Good and bad, young and old, healthy and afflicted, wise and foolish, all must die. We must shortly, without distinction, part with all our earthly enjoyments, friends, property, etc., and all our religious opportunities will soon be over. Our bodies will be reduced to dust, and our souls appear before God. All this we must pass through, whatever we are, and notwithstanding the mediation of Christ. But yet we are delivered by Him from everything in death or judgment that can render it truly terrible. If we inquire how, we have an answer in the text. One, it is through His having died for us, to bear the sins of many. Observe, it is sin that is the sting of death. And Christ, by His death, has removed this sting away in behalf of all that believe in Him. As the sacrifice bore the sins of Israel and bore them away, So Christ, by his death, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He bore the wrath due to our sin. The shaft of vengeance spent itself in his heart. Hence, death becomes a sleep, sleeping in Jesus, a putting off this tabernacle, a departure. Hence, Christians have met death with pleasure, though in himself a king of terrors. Death was originally under the power of Satan, but Christ, by death, has destroyed that power of Satan over death, and death now becomes Christ's servant and theirs. Death is yours. 2. As our deliverance from the sting of death is through Christ's death, so our deliverance from the terror of judgment will be owing to Christ standing our friend in that day. The terror of judgment is condemnation for sin, but Christ will be our advocate. Observe, 1. He came before to bear sin, but now without sin. 2. He comes to salvation, to save our bodies from the grave, and body and soul from condemnation, to give the final blow. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? 3. This is to them and them only that look for him, that love his appearing. 2 Peter 3:12, 2 Timothy 4:8. As to the deceased, we most of us knew little or nothing of him. I only knew that he was not destitute of an expectation of being forever with the Lord. And I hope that expectation was not in vain. And you, my friend, who are now deprived of your only remaining relative, you are left, it is true, in a world of temptation and affliction. Yet you have, I trust, a friend and a brother who yet liveth, and one who is said to have loved his own that were in the world, and to love them to the end. A word to the congregation. You have got to die, and it is a very serious matter whether this sentence be executed upon you in its terror. It must, it will, if out of Christ. Death will then have its sting, and Christ will come to your confusion. To the church, we are about to commemorate his death. He hath wrought so great a deliverance, hath borne our sins. Look for him. Be disengaged. Have your work forward. The Lord is at hand.